For years, I was so fed up with shampoo, I just stopped washing my hair. I quit completely. I was so sick of poofy, frizzy, limp hair, distorting my natural oils. Until a few months ago, I found Modern Mammals, and it changed everything. And by the way, right now you can visit modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. So check that out. So look, I heard about this through the podcast, and before I agreed to advertise, they sent it to me, and I was reluctant. But let me tell you, I should not have been. This stuff is absolutely magical. My hair felt better, smelled way better, and most importantly, looked better. And I know it will do the same for you as well. It doesn't have those hair-ruining chemicals like other products, and it doesn't leave any leftover residues. It works. Don't believe me? Go read their awesome reviews online as well. Go to modernmammals.com and use code LSS for 10% off. Again, that's modernmammals.com for 10% off with promo code LSS. Don't forget to use our promo code LSS so they know we sent you.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
The podcast, Lead Singer Syndrome. I am your host, Shane Told, as I take you into the backstage conversations I have with other lead singers from all different genres, all different walks of life, and places like Perth, Australia, one of the most isolated capital cities in the world, maybe the most isolated. But we've got a great band today. Voyager, a band who's been at it since 1999, just released their 8th album. Now, I assume some of you have probably not heard of this band because they've been a small band. They've been under the radar until this year when they were a finalist on Eurovision. Now, I know if you're from Europe or Australia, you definitely know all about Eurovision, but some Americans may not. Now, Eurovision is a song contest that's been happening, I think, since like the 1960s, where there's a representative from all the European countries and randomly Australia, and they compete for who is the best, who has the best song. And this thing is, pardon my French, fucking huge. 162 million people tuned in to the finals. So that gives you a little bit of perspective on what it's like for a band like Voyager from an isolated place to all of a sudden have that many people watching them, that many eyeballs on them. It is absolutely wild. So this is a great conversation. Stick around. And this band absolutely rips. So I can't wait for you to hear this interview. It is one of the best I've done in a very long time. I'm super, super stoked about it. Before we do get into that, a couple little things. You can get in touch with me. I know I say it every week, but you can. LeadSingerSyndrome@gmail.com. You can hit me up. You can also add me on social media. I'm on all the socials at Shane Told or at Lead Singer Syndrome. Instagram's kind of the go-to, but yeah, I don't know. I'm around. Add me. And if you want to help out the show, we have the All Access Club. That is a monetized thing where you can pay a few bucks a month, which helps me out, helps me keep this thing running, helps this thing be free every week. And you can find out all the details about the perks and everything else you get over at leadsingersyndrome.com/allaccess. That's my plug. Also, you'll hear some ads throughout this thing. I try to keep the ads, you know, to a minimum, but if you do hear, you know, about a product or something, and I got a promo code or whatever, I do appreciate you checking out those products. I don't typically advertise for shitty stuff or bad deals. So check out those as well. No pressure, of course, but I do want to thank all the sponsors of the show because they've been awesome to me over the last 8 years that I've been doing this podcast. Anyway, let's get into it, shall we? Here is my conversation with Danny of Voyager.
Shane, how are you?
Hey, man. Oh, he's big booming voice. Really woke. It's eight o'clock in the morning where I am. So that woke me up, dude. I'm awake now.
Man, you know what? If I'm going to be on Lead Singer Syndrome, it's going to be booming, right?
That's right. Oh, yeah. You make your impact, Danny. This is great, man. I'm feeling great this morning. I'm out here on the west coast of America. I assume you're in Perth, Australia right now. Is that correct?
Yes, you've done your research. Yes, I am indeed, which is pretty far away from you, really. And every time we make the journey to the States, I always feel like, God, it's the time difference is just, it's crazy. So West Coast would be like, what, 16 hours?
What time is it there?
It's 11 p.m. here.
11 p.m. Oh, my God.
Yeah, right.
So this is kind of the only way we could make it work. I guess if I did it in my evening, I guess that would make a little bit more sense. But wow, so we're both making sacrifices for this. I love it.
Well, look, I've got to say, you're a lead singer and you're up at 8 a.m., so you win this one.
Yeah. I don't know. I've only been on the West Coast of the States for about 6 months.
Okay.
But I find being out here, I get up way earlier anyway. I don't know if it's because, you know, the East Coast of Canada and the US is like 3 hours later.
Yeah.
Maybe it's similar to Perth. Like maybe people tend to get up because like, oh, in Sydney, it's later or Melbourne or whatever. It's like, that's kind of where a lot of stuff's happening.
Yeah.
So maybe it's just tends to be that way. But yeah, I tend to get up pretty early these days. And
which city are you in?
Las Vegas.
Oh, you're in Vegas. Oh, okay. All right.
Yeah.
Vegas. Right.
Yeah. No, it's great out here, but this is not about me.
Vegas is great. Vegas is great. I've done the obligatory grand, you know, hire a Mustang convertible and go down the Grand Canyon in Vegas. It's great. It's great.
That's right, man. No, it's a beautiful thing. People think of Vegas and they think of obviously like the casinos, you know, the partying, strippers, things like that. But there is beautiful nature here. Absolutely, like first class, world class nature, and so much to see. So
yeah, for sure. Yes,
if you come here, definitely don't just spend all your time on the strip, losing your money. Definitely go see some stuff.
To be honest, we spent very little time on the strip. I didn't enjoy it at all. I thought it was not all it's cracked up to be. And I thought that, you know, the sort of outskirts and the off the beaten path was just much more interesting than the glitzy, shiny Vegas that you see on TV.
Yeah, no, 100%, man. Well, look, dude, it's a pleasure to finally have you on the show. We've been talking about this for a couple months, and you have such an interesting career, especially recently. I mean,
yep.
Wow.
You could say that.
Like, this is just crazy. Like, you know, I've heard of your band before. I never really listened to it, but this was kind of way, way out of left field that your band was all of a sudden going to be not only, you know, the Australian finalist for Eurovision, but putting up a pretty damn good fight. A top 10 finish, even being the number one band in the semifinals there in your group.
Yeah.
That is tremendous. And you know, I think a lot of people listening to this, if they're from the US or Canada, they might not even really understand, or even some people haven't even heard of Eurovision and how big it is. But what, 160 something million people tuned in?
Yeah.
Exactly. That's like, that gives you a, that puts in perspective of just how big this is and how many eyeballs this puts on. You know, we'll call you a metal band, you know,
sure,
that's been doing it for over 20 years.
We have. And I guess in the truest sense of the word, you know, we all started with sort of metal roots. And I went, you know, I started off in the sort of death and black metal. And metal is still, I guess, the category that we would fit into, I guess, most neatly. But as with a lot of heavy music these days, it doesn't necessarily sound like metal. Like, you know, you wouldn't go, oh, listen to this and like some of the softer Devin Townsend tracks and go, this is metal,
right?
You know? But it still is in that category, which is a blessing and a curse sometimes. But yeah, you're right. For a metal band from Perth, Western Australia, to make it into the top 10 of Eurovision, like what the hell just happened this year? This has been crazy.
Yeah, it's so cool. You know, and the song you guys put together is so great. The song is called Promise. And you know, hey, it's a song you heard. You're not going to like right away be like, okay, this is definitely a metal song. You wouldn't think that.
No.
You might even not even think it's a rock song, but as it goes, you're like, wait a second. These are like low tune guitars. And then all of a sudden it's like, oh wait, that's a scream. There's a pretty sick breakdown in it. I mean, there are elements here that are going to make, you know, those 160 million people watching, there's going to be, I don't know if you've thought about this, I'm sure you have, but there are going to be so many kids from all over the world watching that going, this is different. What is that sound? What is he doing with his voice? What, you know, that is just going to, like, I really think, help build the scene and continue, you know, the progress of let's call it, we'll call it metal. You know, it's awesome.
Yeah. 100%. Thank you. I agree entirely. And it opened a lot of people's ears to different styles of music and different styles of metal. I mean, there was a German band called Lord of the Lost on there as well, who unfortunately they didn't do so well. But you know, they were sort of goth metal band. And then here we were doing like 80s pop metal. So it showed the variety of heavy music. And I think it opened a lot of people's ears to what heavy music really is, because you're right. It started off in this mysterious sort of kind of, is this like electro synth? What is this? And it's like, okay, this is like a rock thing. It's like, oh, it's metal. And we really wanted to take people on that journey because you have to be careful not to, you know, because you're treading a fine line. You want to stay true to yourself and your own kind of style. You don't want to just sort of sell out because you're doing Eurovision.
No.
Like essentially a 3-minute pop song. But at the same time, you want to go, okay, well, let's make it accessible for people and make it, take them on the journey and then crush them halfway with really what is one of the first kind of true like downtuned breakdowns with like the sort of, you know, the sort of sub growl on Eurovision ever, which is, I don't know, it's kind of cool. And people's reaction was like, whoa, what is this? This is cool. And it's like, for us from the metal scene, we're like, yeah, it's just like, but people were like, oh my God, what is this? This monstrosity that's coming out.
Yeah.
It's so cool.
I love that too. And you know, going back a couple decades for my band, you know, we had a similar thing happen where we had a contestant sing one of our songs on American Idol.
Yeah.
And he did all the screaming.
Yep.
And you know, it was a little lame and a little cheesy and whatever, right? And the guy kind of got ripped apart on the internet. But the amount of doors that opened up for my band Silverstein was like crazy, because so many people saw that. And even just the idea, like, yeah, that just the idea that somebody wants to do that and show that this is something showcased, that there is a whole world out there, you know? It was so big for us. And I mean, I'm sure it wasn't even close to 160 million people. This was the height of American Idol, but not even close to Eurovision. So I think that's really cool that, yeah, my original question, what I didn't really get to, was exactly that you guys are still being true to yourself and kind of the progression that you've taken over the last few albums, while still, you know, just putting up like a great song that's competitive with all these other songs that are basically, you know, basically pop songs.
Exactly right. Exactly right. It really is so important, because what our advantage was is that, you know, we've been doing the touring circuit for a while. We've got albums, we've got our fan base. And the last thing we would want to do is just to go, all right, well, we're just going to do something that's so not us that people will be like, oh, I don't, what's happened to these guys? And we've always, you know, we've always wanted to stay true to what we do and what we enjoy playing. Because first and foremost for us, it's let's enjoy the music that we play. And if other people enjoy it as well, that's fantastic. This time it was a little bit different because we're writing not only for a particular set of parameters, like 3 minutes, that's the parameters in which you have to kind of write. But we're also writing for the stage because it's a stage show after all. And that was a really interesting process. And that was kind of a big learning curve for us, in that we're not just writing for what we feel is right, but we're writing for what is going to look interesting and create that suspense that is going to draw these people in, because most of those 162 million people have never seen this. They're tuning in for the first time for that final. They haven't been part of that journey. You know, millions of people go
right
the journey, but there's a few people who've just got, you've got 3 minutes to impress them. And how do you do that? And how do you visually do that as well as sonically? So it was really challenging as musicians and songwriters. And to come, we actually came sixth in the jury vote, which is, again, for a heavy band, as songwriters, that's really flattering, and it means a lot to us, because that's, you know, that's the industry saying, hey, you guys wrote a killer song.
Yeah, man. I can't imagine the stress level of doing that final. I mean, I know they have strict rules about live, playing live and singing live. I think there's some things you're allowed to pre-record.
Yeah.
I think I read you're allowed to do like backup vocals pre-recorded, which is kind of random, but you have to be there singing live to that many people. I mean, like, I just think of like, what do you do the night before? I'm sure you're not out drinking at the pub, you know, like just the amount of stress, actually, like you gotta get a good night's sleep. You gotta wake up, you gotta feel good. Like that is, it doesn't get, there's no festival that's 160 million people. You know, I just can't imagine that. That's just, there's nothing bigger than that.
But you know what, the fact that, but I mean, you've played the big crowds as well, you know, and you know what it's like playing to that crowd, but you don't know what it's like playing to 162 million people, and you can't see them. So you'll never know. And
no,
that's really comforting. You know, what's amazing is that you're playing to those people who are in the crowd, and in the crowd there's 11,000 people in a stadium. And the hardest thing is knowing that you are essentially neglecting them in order to look into the camera and play to the 160 million people that are watching at home.
Right.
So it's like, you know, for a live singer who basically generally does whatever the hell I want on stage, to be able to say, all right, look at camera 31 at minute 120 and look at, you know, do a wink at this. And it's like, whoa, there's all these things to remember. And I'm like, there's 11,000 people here, and I just want to look at every single one of them and go, come on. But I can't. I've got to look at the camera. That's the hardest part. But to be honest, like the stress level at that point, it just, once we'd gotten past the final and we found out later that we actually won the final, that meant a lot to us. And everything else after that was just like, we're going to have fun. It's just gravy from now on, you know? And we knew, look, we've been doing this for such a long time. We weren't 18, you know, going out there doing it for the first time. But it is daunting when you know that you, as the vocalist, are really, you're the only member apart from the other backing vocalist who is there, exposed, raw, live, no auto tune. Yes, there's a bit of reverb, a bit of delay, and you've got to not only hit the notes to the best of your ability, you've also got to put on a show, and you've got to remember all your cue points, and you've got to remember when to jump out of the car and when to look at which camera. So there's so many things to remember, and I think one of the things that I learned doing the Australian final was that, you know what, vocally, if your performance is 100%, but it's boring, you're boring to look at and you're stiff and you're not having fun, that's awful. So you know what, if your vocal performance is 80%, that's still fine, because people are quite forgiving. What I think is the most difficult part is that you're competing against a lot of these sort of shows like The Voice and American Idol and all that sort of stuff, who are heavily most of the time, you know, post-produced, auto-tuned to the max.
Yeah.
We're used to listening to auto-tune as just, you know, that vocal perfection. So it's almost like everyone's just constantly having sex with Viagra and you're the only one that's not.
That's amazing.
You know what I mean? And you've still got to perform to that level. And that's the daunting part. But after a while, you've rehearsed it so many times and you've done it so many times and you're just like, man, we've got this. We've done this so many times and it's just another show. Whether we play to three people at some pub in England or to these people, you know, it's... And I think it showed, you know, there's a lot of comments like, man, this guy just looked like he's relaxed and he's having fun.
Fuck yeah.
Because that's what it is. At the end of the day, it is about having fun. When the fun stops, you got to quit.
Fuck yeah. I love this, dude. This is great to hear about. And you know, for a lot of the Americans, Canadians, people from countries where Eurovision's not really a thing, they might be a little bit confused as to why Australia is even in Eurovision. And what's funny is the first time I ever heard of Eurovision was from an Australian actually told me about it, which is, that's when I first heard about it. I don't know, way back in the day. And I guess the story goes that Australia, because Australia's only been in it since what, 2015 or something like that.
That's right.
But the popularity was so big in Australia that they let you in, you know?
Exactly.
But my question to you, and I'm not trying to get on conspiracy theories or anything, but do you think that puts Australia at a disadvantage, that maybe the Eurovision purists don't want an outsider to win this thing? I mean, I don't know. Maybe I'm reaching, but that there's got to be somebody out there.
I think you're onto something. Yeah. Would we have done better as a European band? Maybe. I think there is this like, these guys are cool. They're nice. We'll let them in. But we'll never let them win, type of thing, maybe.
Right.
Although we did come second once, so that was pretty close. And I think everyone's just scared of the possibility of Australia hosting Eurovision, where the whole of Europe's going to have to come to Australia and deal with the time difference. Which, by the way, we deal with every time we tune into Eurovision, because for us that's 3 a.m. baby, so we're committed. Show us some of that commitment too. But you're right. And what I find fascinating is that Eurovision is not popular in the States, because, you know, North America, and I'm including Canada in this, but probably more, you know, the United States of America, love nothing more than an over the top spectacle, right? Over the top is what North America does best.
Yeah.
You know, you've got your wrestling, you've got your big shows, you've got all that stuff. This is like, it's super over the top. It's live television. There's crazy stuff going on. The light show is phenomenal. There's people riding unicycles with witches' hats. There's crazy stuff going on. I just can't believe that North America hasn't embraced Eurovision more.
You know,
I'm hoping that this will change over the next decade.
You know what would be so sick, and I just had this idea right now, would be if America did their own and they had representatives from all 50 states. Think about how...
That'd be fantastic.
That would be sick, right? To have, you know...
Oh, it'd be so good.
Yeah, it would be awesome.
And to be honest, as an outsider looking at, you know, North America, yes, it's a country, but having traveled through the country so many times and having met so many people from the vast, it's all very different. You guys are all very different. And so you would have so many interesting musical styles, so many personalities. There's 300 million of you in the United States alone,
right?
You know, plus you had Canada. It'd be so good.
Yeah. What a spectacle. Right. And you'd have, you know, different styles, right? Like you think of, you know, someone from Hawaii, they would have like probably a different take on than somebody from Massachusetts or whatever. You know, you'd have maybe you have Massachusetts doing some kind of Irish thing, and you know, with some like, you know, legit Hawaiian music, and I don't fucking know, but it'd be sick. I think it would be sick. I'm gonna start
the idea. Let's start
America Vision right here. I'm gonna do it. It's going to be me.
Yes.
Oh, man. Well, going back to you, and what I found really interesting too is obviously Voyager's been at it for over 20 years. You've just released your eighth album. We'll talk about that in a minute too. But by day, you're an immigration lawyer, a partner at your own law firm.
Yeah.
Helping, you know, a lot of migrants enter Australia as well, you know, doing some really great work on that side as well. So it's like, it's interesting because you're, I mean, at least you were, maybe you still are, kind of a part-time rocker, but with all this kind of notoriety, all this fame, I mean, you're a distinctive looking person. I mean, you're probably really getting recognized or rockignized on the streets of Perth these days.
Look, I am. That's a great pun, by the way. Recognizing when you use that.
That's really lame. It's really lame, but I love it.
Yeah, look, I've always been too scared to jump fully into the music career. I'm very risk averse in that regard. So I've always had the responsible career,
right?
You know, on the straight and narrow, and then done the sort of music thing on the side, because I realized that, you know, making a living out of epic progressive power pop metal is probably not that likely. So I've always kept it reasonably safe, and I guess now you know you are at a juncture where yes, you are recognized. You know, I'm invited as a celebrity for whatever that's worth and how long that's going to last. and balancing that and the law, you know, it's full time law, full time music, and at some point there's not enough hours in the day, so you kind of got to decide what to do and where to go. I still think I'm probably too risk averse to fully jump into the music thing, but I think that the dream is for the band to, you know, not just be sustainable, but also, you know, derive some income from it. That would be nice, certainly for the others in the band, particularly. But I think I would be too scared to do what, for instance, you've done, and it's just like fully immerse yourself in the band thing. I think it would take a lot, because the older you get, the more set in your ways you get, the more you enjoy your certain lifestyle, and you know the industry is fickle, the industry is risky. So, do you take that risk and just go, let's see how far I can milk it, or do you go, well, I'm still going to enjoy and I'm still going to do this at a high level, but also maintain my dual career? And it's not that I hate my law career. I love it. I love being a lawyer. I love what I do, and I love the law firm, and I love my staff. So it's not something that I'll just go, well, I'm just flipping burgers, screw this, I'm going to be a rock star. It's a different balancing
exercise. Totally, man. No, it's great. I mean, I think you're kind of living the dream, in my opinion. It's a beautiful thing. You know, I think being from Perth, which is, we talked about it a little bit, you know, earlier in the conversation, but you know, it is the most isolated capital city on earth.
Yes.
You know, and I know you can do one of those things. Like, I'm from Toronto originally, right? And I know when you go, oh, like, you know, I think of like the old cartoons, like when you dig a hole through the earth and like, it's like, oh, where do you end up? Oh, you end up in like China. Actually, if you dig a hole from, you know, down to it through the core of the earth, from Toronto, you end up in Perth. So it's literally like all the way on the...
Really?
Yeah, I mean, it's the closest one. What is it called? The antipode? Antipode?
Yeah.
I think is the term for that.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, Perth is the furthest city from basically that whole East Coast of America and Canada.
Wow.
It's really fucking far. And what is it, like 5 hours on an airplane to get to, you know, Sydney or Melbourne or maybe something like that, right? Four or five hours.
It's a cool 3,000 kilometers away. Yeah, so, you know.
Right, exactly. So you're very isolated there, which to play in a band that is a little niche-y, you know, not an easy band maybe to get off the ground, I imagine it's been just incredibly difficult and expensive for you guys to be like, oh yeah, we're just going to like go play here. Whereas for my band, it was easy back in the day. The hardest thing was visas, which maybe you could have helped us out with. But, you know, we could just get in the van and be like, okay, we drive to New York City and we're there in like 8 hours, you know, or, oh, we're going to go to Chicago. That's also 8 hours away. Like, you know, you can do these things that you need to do as a band getting started, to you know, play in front of labels or play for the right shows or festivals or whatever.
Yeah.
But for you guys being from Perth, I mean, it's 3,000 kilometers just to get to Sydney.
I know.
Then another, 14 hours to LA or something like that on an airplane. So it's absolutely psycho, and it's very, very difficult. And that might be why you don't hear about a lot of bands from Perth really making it.
Yeah, that's true. But it also means that we have to work harder for what we want. And when you do make it, you do well. I mean, we've got great bands coming from Perth. We've got, you know, Carnival. We've got Tame Impala. So there's a there's
yeah Yeah.
You know, there's some big names out there from that little city of ours, but you're absolutely right. Like starting out, you don't have that opportunity. You don't have that opportunity then, and you certainly don't have that opportunity now. Like, you know, if you're a European band, you just go, oh, here's a festival in Finland. Let's just hop on a little plane and ride, or just, as you said, let's take a van. We'll go to Slovakia to do to do a festival. We simply can't do that here.
Yep.
Whatever we do, wherever we go, it's like at least $12,000 and we haven't even played a
Yeah, not to mention hauling all your shit there. I mean, yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, so it's brutal.
It becomes prohibitive and becomes frustrating and becomes an exercise in budgets and, you know, applying for a lot of government funding in the beginning. And the West Australian government has been incredibly helpful in helping us, you know, do some of the things that we haven't been able to do. Early on, I remember the first time it was like 2005, we got invited to a prog metal festival in the Netherlands. We're like, how the hell are we going to do this? The government, you know, gives some funding. So that's an incredibly lucky situation to be in. And I think that the government realizes that because bands are so geographically isolated, they're going to need that extra cash. But it was certainly not easy then. And it certainly still isn't easy now, to be honest. I love Perth. It's great. But the geographical restrictions are probably the biggest hurdle in just being able to just do things ad hoc. Everything's going to be planned. Everything's going to be super budgeted. And, you know, once we're in Europe, we're going to be there for a long time. We can't just hop over.
Yep.
Same with the States and same with Canada.
Yeah, absolutely. Absolutely.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo Concert in Kansas City, go Kevin! Or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Another day is here, and you're ready for it. What to wear? Check. Breakfast, lunch, and dinner? Check. Planning for what's next and how to save for it? That's where Bank of America can help. For your financial to-dos, Bank of America has experts ready to help get you closer to your goals. Get started at one of our local financial centers or 24-7 in our mobile banking app. Find a location near you at bankofamerica.com/talktous. What would you like the power to do? Mobile banking requires downloading the app and is only available for select devices. Message and data rates may apply. Bank of America NA, member FDIC.
Well, interesting thing about you too is that you're not an Australian native. You were born in Germany. So you are you are a European. Maybe that'll give you some extra votes on your vision.
Sure.
Born in Germany and you migrated in 1992 to Australia. And I heard that you didn't even know how to speak any English at that point. So that's kind of interesting.
I still struggle with that.
You sound pretty good to me. But it's interesting now you're also, you know, when your career, you're helping migrants, probably a lot of people similar to yourself in 1992 and your family. That's kind of interesting that's come full circle. But I assume you still sprechen the Deutsch a little bit over there.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. In fact, just before Eurovision, because, I mean, part of Eurovision is a huge political campaign of drumming up votes in the diehard Eurovision fan community, which is about, you know, it's about 6 million people. It's about 6 million people who tune into the semis and all the stuff that happens before it. So there's pre-parties, pre-concerts. And part of that was also a tour of Germany. And I did a lot of media in Germany. They loved me. They tried to claim me wherever they could. I had the mayor of the city that I was born in call me up and say, "You must come for an interview." I'm like, "All right, well, you remember me now."
I love that.
But it was cool. It was really really cool to go back to my roots. And every time I'm in Germany, you know, there's obviously that feeling of connection. I wouldn't say it's home because home is now definitely Australia, but it's nice to have those roots. And I'll tell you what, it really helped me with the whole Eurovision experience. I knew enough and I was enough of a Europhile to know how to talk to all the Europeans. So I think there's some brownie points in there. So it's not all the music, there's a bit of schmoozing that went on as well, for sure.
I love that, man. That's very, very funny. So let's talk about this new record.
Yeah.
Fearless in Love. It is out now, your 8th album. This album fucking rips. I love it.
Thank you.
Not to mention just the Eurovision song, you know, being on here, Promise, but also some other great tunes, including a couple, Dreamer, which was also A Eurovision entry.
Yeah.
As well. But talk to me about this, putting this whole record together, and also the timing of it seems really good too. I mean, you being on this mega show and then having an album coming, that worked out nicely as well. I'm sure there was a little bit of planning surrounding that, but it's really, really a great album. I'm really, really impressed.
It almost seems too well timed, right? Like, what did these guys do? No, we've been sitting on the album for a while, and we're actually going to release it earlier in the year. But then Eurovision came along, and we were like, well, let's just wait a bit until we have everyone's attention. And as you will know, you know, as you were saying before with the American Idol thing, once you have that exposure, once people just sort of listen and go, what is this? Then at least they're listening to your band. I think that's the hardest thing with new music these days, just getting people's attention, getting people to listen. Once they do listen, they go, hey, I really like this. So once we had the attention of 162 million people, we went, here you go. Here's an album here's something we prepared earlier. And the timing was so perfect. The timing was so right. And the people who liked our song, who liked Eurovision, who liked, you know, even the Australian finals last year, they were on board. And not just them, but also the older fans, because again, it came back to not neglecting that true Voyager sort of 80s pop sensibility mixed with the heavy riffs underneath. And that's really what we've been doing. For the last few albums, and we've continued that. Yes, we've tweaked it here and there for Eurovision a little bit, but you know, all in all, if you listen to the album from beginning to finish, Promise and Dreamer don't really stand out like sore thumbs.
Absolutely not. No.
I remember there's this great story, the Finnish band Stradivarius. I don't know if you know them.
Of course.
They're like a big power metal band. They had a ballad, and it was an unusual ballad. And it became the theme tune for some Korean sitcom, right? So this is in the 80s or something, or in the early 90s. And so everyone went, oh, this is great. And all the Koreans went out and bought the album. And the rest of the album was like just speed metal. And they're like, what the hell is this?
I love that. Well, so, you know, I'll never forget. To tell a quick story.
No, go ahead.
I mean, there was this metal band that put out a record in around 1997. And it was like kind of metal, like I don't know, hardcore punk meets metal, a little bit new metal, but that was before the new metal term came. And they had two really big songs that were really heavy, and the whole record was awesome. And I went to see them on Warped Tour, and then they came out and they played the heavy songs, and they're like, yeah, we're gonna try something new, and they played a song called Fly, and the band was Sugar Ray, and a lot of people don't remember that Sugar Ray's first album, I think it's called Lemonade and Brownies, is all like heavy, except the whole record is heavy. And then the second album came out, and the first single was Fly, and it completely changed the band. Nobody thinks of them as like a metal band, but they were, and they actually had some success. So
that is, it's so crazy.
Yeah. So it happens, man. But I mean, back to you guys. It's funny you described your band a little bit. I was about halfway through your album, listening to the new album, and I wrote as a question, you've managed to blend modern pop sensibility with classic synth sounds while still incorporating low-tuned modern metal guitars and also heavy drums.
Yep.
It's an impressive thing to pull off. That was my own little description.
Thank you.
Which you said almost the same thing, but it really works, and it's amazing. I think just how I see this being the way that the sound is going. You know, like it's also something like a very popular band like Sleep Token. They're almost doing that a little bit too. You know, blending in you know, some of those like super kind of modern pop elements with, you know, pretty technical prowess with like progressive metal. It's and that's blowing up, and you guys are like right there, but just maybe, dare I say, writing better songs. No, don't believe me, I love Sleep Token, but it's really, really impressive that you guys are able to kind of find this sound. It's like, I think I can just, if I use my description, I think people can understand it.
Yep.
And when people will listen to your record, they're going to be like, oh shit, I think he hit the nail on the head, because it really is really awesome.
Thank you. That means a lot coming from you. Thank you. That's great. And I'm glad that, you know, we were able to pull it off, especially with the timing. You know, we didn't want to release something that people were like, oh, this sucks. But that pop sensibility mixed with the heaviness, that's something that we've just enjoyed for such a long time. And I think unashamedly, I like melody. I like stuff like psytrance and trance. And I love Eurovision. I love pop music. You know, there's some amazing pop stuff out there. Some absolute garbage as well. You know, at work, in the office, I'm subjected to some of the stuff that it's just mindless nonsense. You wouldn't even call it music. Someone said, oh, who's this? What artist is this? It was like, there's no art in this at all. So please don't refer to these people as artists. But, you know, a good pop song with a good melody is worth so much. And combining that with the things that we love, which are, you know, heavy guitars and chunky riffs, it just makes so much sense. My voice is kind of a very sort of 80s Duran Duran, aha type voice anyway. I can't help that. That's how I was born.
Right.
So it kind of just works, you know, and people seem to like it. And people from all ages seem to like it. There's, you know, there's the younger people who sort of, you know, who are enjoying the more sort of genty type, tesseracty type, you know, an underlay that we have. And then there's the people like, oh man, you guys remind me of, you know, insert 80s pop band, whether it be Johnny Hates Jazz or Tears for Fears or something like that. And they go, I love this. I can relate to this. But also like, you know, I also like Metallica, for instance, you know, or some other mainstream heavy band. And I like what you guys do. So it's intergenerational, it's cross-generational, and that's really cool. But most of all, we enjoy playing and I enjoy singing it, because the most wonderful thing about music is, as heavy as it is melodies. And melodies are what makes the world go around, I still think. And, you know, it's fine to be heavy, but at the end of the day, as you will very well know, you know, heaviness and melody go very, very well together.
Totally. And yeah, I mean, it's all about the melodies. And I remember, well, I listened to your song, Promise, and I said, like, I tried to listen to it, not in the context of an album. I tried to listen to it like, okay, I'm picturing you guys on a stage with 11,000 people watching and 160 million people watching at home. And I'm trying to think of it like that. And I'm like, man, that's pretty good. Like, I'm like, okay,
yeah.
Now I want to hear the song that won. So I listened to the song. It's called Tattoo. Loreen is the artist from Sweden.
Yeah.
I listened to it.
Yeah.
You know what? Pretty good fucking song.
Yeah, great song.
pretty good song. Like, if you're going to lose to, I'm happy that you didn't lose to some garbage song. It's a good track.
It is. And
one, great melody.
One of my ultimate idols is a guy called Max Martin, who I don't know if you know him, but he's the producer.
For sure.
He manages to write such amazing songs, such amazing melodies, everything from Britney Spears to, like, you know, there's just, he's like Backstreet Boys and all sort of stuff. And it's like, ooh, whatever. But the songs are so catchy, and catchy stuff is really hard to write, and it's really hard to execute well and to structure well. And pop songs, and, you know, if done well, do that really well. And there's nothing, I don't think there's anything to be ashamed of going, well, that's a really well-written pop song. And, you know, if many, many juries from many, many countries from the industry agree, then we go, well, maybe we should write some more pop songs. You know, maybe not for us, but maybe we should write for some more Eurovision artists. I think we can do this.
I would love to see it. I thought of that earlier. I was like, these guys should be writing songs for other people, you know. Maybe if you're just
You
got a little downtime and you know, in Perth. That's the other thing too, that's problematic about having success in a country like Australia. And, you know, and I've got tons of friends in popular Australian bands. It's that, you know, there's only really five major cities, and you can only tour them so much. You know, you can't really sustain a career like you can if you're popular in the US, you know, where there's like 100 major cities or something you can play, where in Australia there might be like 10. like legitimately. And
absolutely.
And that's really yeah. tough if you're trying to have a, you know, have a full-time career as a musician.
Very, very much so. Very much so. And you know, you're coming, I think you're coming in October.
Yeah, that's right. We're playing with Amity Affliction. So
Yeah, you're playing with Amity. Yeah. So you, I think you're doing what? You're doing two shows in Perth and Fremantle. I think you're doing.
I believe that's right. Yes.
Yeah. I mean, huge show. It's going to be amazing.
Yeah.
I wish I could come, but I'll be on tour in Europe. So sorry.
Bummer.
I might be back in time for one of them. I'll see. You know, you've toured Australia before, right?
Oh yeah. Probably half a dozen times.
So you will be acutely aware of how annoying it is to have to get on a plane to get to your next show. And you'll be acutely aware of how awesome it is to get on a tour bus and just go to the next city in a place like North America or a place like Europe. Touring in Australia is not one of my favorite things, I'll be very honest, because
it's terrible.
As singers, what do you not want to do? You don't want to sit in a plane for 5 hours, you know, with your mouth open, with this air conditioning just slamming down your throat, and then getting no sleep, having to be at an airport, you know, at a lobby call at, you know, 6 a.m., whatever, because your plane's leaving at 7:30 after a big night. It's very stressful touring. And that's why road touring in places like the States and Europe is so much more enjoyable. So, good luck in October. Good luck in October. Yeah,
well, the one thing that helps is just the amount of days off we tend to always get in Australia. You know, it's usually like, you know, there'll be a couple days during the week where you have off, and then it'll be like, oh, you know, you're doing 5 shows, but it's over like, it's kind of open over 2 weekends. Or in this case, I think it's more like 8 or 9 shows. I'm not really sure. But it'll be
days
all right.
Off,
but
days off cost money, you know, days off are expensive for crew. And
it's true.
You know, it's becoming more and more expensive to tour, as you know. And there's quite a few. How many bands are on this lineup? I'm just having a look now. 1, 2, 3, 4 bands.
Yeah.
That's 4 bands not doing anything for a lot of time.
Yeah. I mean, I guess they just want to put the show on a Friday or Saturday and not on a, you know, Monday or whatever.
And that's the other problem. Yeah. That's the other problem. You know, so when we do a show, you do it over 3 weekends and you're trying to sort of blend in with your family. You come back, you're trying to have the 3 days of normal family life, normality. And it's like, bang, you're on tour again.
Yeah.
And it's, you know, it's a struggle. I mean, obviously the shows, you know, of that size with Amity, I'm guessing the backline, et cetera, is freighted across the country. I think touring in Australia is one of the, and I've had lots of bands who've come to Australia for the first time who've gone, wow, this is tough.
Ugh.
You know, the weird slight jet lag, you know, 3 hours or you go to New Zealand, it's like 5 hours. You're like, what is this? I'm just annoyed all the time.
I know. I can't believe how tired, like the most tired I've ever been is touring Australia. Not to mention some of the tours we did early in the early days were in a van. So, So when you're going, like, how far is it from Brisbane to Sydney, like 12 hours?
Yeah.
So that's, you know, and the vans, like, we're not talking about a nice 15 passenger van with a trailer even. It's like, we're crammed in like a fucking minivan.
Oh my.
We've done a couple of driving tours in Australia. So yeah, it's pretty rough, man. It's pretty rough, but
you've done the tough slog. See, then that's the thing, you know, when you've done the tough slog, when you've done the van tours, when you're trying to sleep upright, it makes the luxuries, the few luxuries that you do get, so much more worthwhile. Whereas I think if a lot of people start on a particular level and they get used to that level, they don't understand, and they don't appreciate. So kudos to you for having done the van tours of Australia. That's hard. Yeah, I got it.
Thanks, man. Well, you know, you're getting some recognition now in Australia. Your new album was your first album to chart on the Australian charts.
Yeah.
And you know, this mainstream everything. I love to ask the question about your guys' parents. Is it like finally, like, your parents are going down to the grocery store and being like, my son, you know, is on Eurovision. And they're like, even though you've done so much great stuff, it's like, this is different kind of recognition, you know, in mainstream. And I just wonder, like, you know, what your parents all think about it.
Oh, they love it. They've all but they've all been supportive for years, and they've all, in fact, they've all gone, you know, you guys should be doing bigger and better things. And finally, you know, we did something that was so big. I don't think we could ever, you can't do anything bigger than that. You know, I mean, if we can beat playing to 162 million people, I don't know. Like, we're doing, like, is that even possible? Is there an audience that's bigger than that? I don't know. I don't think so. But
I don't think there is. I think literally you've done it.
Yeah, exactly. So, and you know, and it's not just that. It's the media appearance. You know, I've been on, you know, national TV. I've been on quiz shows. I've done so many interviews, you know, all across. And people are just like, man, you know, get off my TV, basically. And it's like, that's really cool. It's really cool to get that recognition. It's really cool to be, I guess, to a certain degree, public figure. You know, we're going to schools and talking to kids about, you know, hang in there, do the music thing, you know, he can have the dual careers, all that sort of stuff. And
cool.
Likewise, you know, the parents are like, oh, your son is this or your daughter's this. And I saw them, and it's lovely. And it's nice because you almost feel like, man, all the hours that the parents have spent going, listening to all that, you know, all that stuff, that the music they may not understand. You know, if we're in our bedroom cranking Car Bomb, whatever, they're like, what is this? But finally they've come, it's that, you know, something that everyone can relate to, something that everyone knows. And it's like, well, I can be proud of my kids now.
I love it. It's such a beautiful thing. My guy, Danny, thank you so much for staying up with me and talking to me about all this stuff. And good luck with this album, more touring, with your career as a lawyer, everything else. Are there rules? Like, can you be a finalist on Eurovision over and over again? Or is it kind of like they give other people a chance?
Do you know what? You can do it over and over again. Lorraine, who won this year, has won it.
Oh, really?
Twice now. She's the first woman to win it twice, which is incredible. Yeah.
Oh, wow.
But to be honest, I don't think I would do it again as an artist, because we had such a positive experience throughout. Like, it was 100% positive. Well, maybe 99.9, you know, there was one or two tough moments, but I just don't think I'd want to do it again, because it would ruin the magic of having done it, and it would never be the same. It's like, you know, when you go to a particularly magical place and have a magical experience, you go back there and it will never be as good. So,
right.
Yeah, I wouldn't do it. I just wouldn't. I'm happy to participate in other capacities, you know, wheel me out as a guest star or something like that. That's fine. But I think as an artist, no, I wouldn't do it. I wouldn't do it.
Well, congratulations on that. Anything else to tell the people before I let you go?
I want to say thank you. I want to say thank you to your listeners. Thank you to the people for believing in us and for enjoying the new album. We hope to be back in North America, hopefully, fingers crossed, next year, so 2024.
Awesome.
It's been too long, and we can't wait. We love touring there. It's one of our favorite places. And, you know, being from Australia, we have to service our fan base from all over the world, but we can't wait to be back there and can't wait to present the new album in live form to everyone. So thank you very much. And thank you, Shane, and thank you for gracing our shores again later this year. It's going to be exciting.
Can't wait. Yeah, it's been a while since we've been to Australia, so I'm really, really excited. It's one of the best countries, straight up. I love it.
It certainly is.
Danny, thanks so much, man. I will leave everybody with a tune. Here it is, the Eurovision track, Promise, Voyager, on Lead Singer Syndrome.
Have you ever done anything like this before? Have you ever done anything like this before? If you've never done anything like this before, then you haven't been alive. Have you ever shut all the open doors? Have you ever just walked out on your own? Have you ever just lost your mind? Would you try to unwind? Or are you coming right back for more?
So there is new music from Voyager and Promise, the Australian representative for Eurovision 2023, and a great showing, a top 10 showing. It's a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful story. I want to thank Danny so much for joining me, staying up past his lawyer bedtime for this. It was awesome. What a great interview. Thank you for listening to this as well. And I will be back, of course, next week with another podcast. If you enjoyed this, go back and check out the 300 others or whatever I have. Plenty of Australian bands. If you're from Australia, I assume a lot of people will be tuning in from Voyager's home country. And tell a friend, tell a loved one. Word of mouth is everything when it comes to this show. So yeah, if you have a friend or anybody that you think might enjoy this, let them know about Lead Singer Syndrome. Thank you so much for listening, and I'll see you all next week.